everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
It's Wednesday night, and we're back with another Sip and Discuss. I'm super excited for this title.
Yes.
Hold on a second. I'm not hearing.
Did we lose?
Oh, did we lose anybody? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Jenny, do not smile. The world might fall apart. You look so mad. You have your mad face on.
I'm sorry. It's the last week of school. We are almost there.
Did you go to field day again today?
Yes. I have a lot of kids and it's a lot.
Yeah.
There was also the Potato Olympics.
What are Potato Olympics?
Apparently you decorate a potato in a country of your choice's attire and then compete in Olympic events with the potato.
Oh.
Like they dropped it off the top of the playground and I think they were just coming up with stuff to do until the end of the school.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I mean, I've done like egg drops, right? Like we've all done the egg drop physics, that, you know, the Rube Goldberg day with physics with the small simple machine type stuff. Like we've all done that stuff.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking, I'm like, I should probably check to make sure there is not a rotting potato somewhere.
Oh, that'd be the worst.
Oh, no.
A potato left in the backpack for the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be growing potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stacy said if it's eating potatoes, she's in. That's exactly what I was thinking, but it doesn't sound like a stat.
No, it was not. It was, and they ended up provide their own potato, which was fine. We had potatoes, but like, there's just a lot to do at the end of the school year. And
okay.
Done.
I saw a mom refer to May as May Ember, like May, December, because of all the, and yeah, I used to feel that way in June because, you know, you have Christmas and then 6 months later I had everybody's birthdays.
Yeah. Well, that's half of ours are in May. And then yes, the chaos of the end of school.
End of the school year. Okay. Well, so for tonight's episode, we are talking and breaking down Mr. Swoony by Piper Rain. This is not anybody's first Piper Rain, right? Oh, yours.
Oh, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. And so did you read this as a standalone? You didn't read the first two books?
Yep, I read it as standalone. Yep.
Perfect.
It worked.
Lindsay, did you read the first two in this series?
No, not yet, but I did win the Hoopla lottery, so I got the whole series from the library. When I downloaded this one, I just started with this one.
I didn't know we had Hoopla lottery.
They do. They all like,
that's right,
time that stuff.
It is like a constant adventure trying to get these Hoopla books.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, speaking of libraries and Hoopla, FYI, if you follow us on Instagram, we are currently having a giveaway. Anne Why Not gifted us a copy of each of her books and some cute swag. And they're about librarians. Love in the Library. I don't know what the series is called.
It's in the Green Valley. It's like the Green Valley Library series. I forget the real name.
Because they've taken it apart a couple times. So
yeah. Well, anyway, those are over on our Instagram. That will be until next Tuesday in June. So, okay. So who wants to give us the details of Mr. Swoony by Piper Rain?
I can do it.
Okay.
All right. The release date is February 25th, 2025. The tropes are hockey, runaway bride, close proximity because they're roommates, instant connection, friend group, slow burn. The series name is The Nest. This is book three. It is a series of standalones. This is dual first person POV. The put out percentage is 62%. And the audio narrators, if you did the audiobook, this is a full cast. It's Connor Crace, Lucy Bell, JF Harding, Sean Masters, Troy Duran, Teddy Hamilton, and CJ Bloom. This is available on Kindle Unlimited. The audio is on Hoopla, Spotify, Libby, and Audible.
And Stacy says in the YouTube chat that you can also get the audios on Kobo Plus.
Okay.
So, I do like how Piper Rain does their audio. They do not stay exclusive to Audible. So, especially because the majority of their books tend to be distributed wide. I know they're rolling series in and out of KU right now. But when an author is wide, and then even if you do Whisper Sync, you still are buying a book at $6 or $7.99, and then the audiobook is another $7.49, and at that point it's no longer like economically worth buying the audio that way. You might as well just use your Audible credit.
We've talked before, like, any play is sometimes a good deal and sometimes not. If you're looking to, like, binge Piper Rain in particular, like, they have at least 25, 30 Piper Rain books Excellent. In there. And I think it's, like, $25 for a quarter.
Yeah.
So that's one of the more economic ways to really binge the audio backlist for them. Because they have full series.
Yeah.
Many series in there.
I did not do this audio. I did this eyeball because it's full cast, and that is just not, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me in my brain. Leah was supposed to be here tonight, but she's not feeling well, and she did the audio and really loved the audio. Apparently I have a paid actor in the background.
I like full cast, but I haven't done any of theirs yet. I will probably at some point do it on the reread, but I didn't have time to do the audio, but I do like a full cast.
Yeah. Lindsay, did you end up doing the audio for this?
I read the first like 35% in Kindle Unlimited, and then I switched to audio after that. So
yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I did. Like for me, I've gotten less picky with audiobooks. I did like it. It was one of the better full casts that I've found, but I don't have a problem with like the normal two narrator process.
I just, my brain jumps out when we switch voices. Like I can do one voice for the whole chapter and then switch over to the other voice. But when we start interjecting random voices, then I'm trying to figure out, wait, who's talking? Who's saying this? And it, you know, it makes me a little befuddled. Jenny, did you eyeball this or audio?
I did eyeball this. Like, I mean, it depends on the audio if I have issues, but a full cast usually doesn't bother me.
I will say this was a really fast read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this whole series was a fast read. It's really interesting, this series as a whole, because I've read the first two books in the series, and this is the least horny so far of the books.
Yeah.
But they were the ones I wanted to do it the most. I'm like, kiss him. Like when they're baking the cake the first time, or he helps her buy the cigarettes. I'm just like,
cigarettes.
Kiss her. You know? I don't know.
It makes sense though, because I mean, she just left her fiance at the altar. Yeah. So it worked for me.
So Jenny, speaking of that, not because I always like to put you on the spot when we get to instant connections and stuff.
Right.
And the fact that she was actively with somebody at the beginning of the book, did that bother you? How did you connect to the characters?
Okay. Yeah, it bothered me like at first, like when he like slides into the booth, I'm like, oh, where's this going? I don't
like this.
Yeah. but I really liked the way he was respectful of her space and her being ready. And even though he does like screw that up for like a hot minute,
20 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
The third act is literally 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, like, cause he does it twice, right? Like he sticks his foot in his mouth. Like, so like at the dance or the party or whatever, when he's like, you're not ready. And I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah. Let's not tell her what she is.
Like, you've seen it all. But no, I like that he gave her space to like deal with her stuff, and it was pretty obvious she did not love, what was that guy's name?
Tristan. Which is like the douchiest name ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a country club name. Sorry if that's your name.
Yeah. We still love you if your name is Tristan. Like, we don't think you're a douche. Just this guy in the book. Unfollows now are up to 5. So overall, I felt like this book was really cute. I did feel it was a unique way to do kind of the runaway bride a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, I was worried that I was going to be annoyed that he kind of stopped the wedding, but the way they did it with him being kind of drunk and getting influenced by the younger players,
the
like
chipmunks.
I thought it was funny.
I love that they're called the chipmunks.
Yes.
But see, I felt like that was so typical, right? You get drunk and then there's this group of chirpies, chipmunks, in your ear saying, do it, do it, do it. And he's like, I'm doing it. And then it's really interesting because Lindsay and Jenny read this as standalones. You and I've read the first two books. I felt like Tweety would have been a chirper, and then he was trying to be the voice of reason. And
I
was confused.
I think he's having a crisis, though. You can tell he's having a crisis.
Yeah. Like,
okay. Well, he comes in late. Like, they're already like got the Uber, and he's like, "Wait, what are you doing?"
Right.
And then he's like, "Well, if it's gonna happen, I might as well."
Yeah, he doesn't even realize what's going on until they get to the wedding. Like, he's just in the car. Like, what's happening? Like,
so, I have to ask you, Amanda, because the way that Tweety acts in the other two books, I thought he was one of the younger guys on the team.
No, they talk about in the earlier books that he's older from, because he came from Florida, which I didn't I read a couple of the Florida books, but I didn't read all of them.
Yeah.
But he apparently was around for most of those books. And I guess he's been in the league for a while. So, yeah, no, but I guess I think maybe the story is that like he had like a serious girlfriend. And then after all that all went to crap, he kind of like turned into this like
fuck boy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's it. He comes off as a fuckboy in those first two books, and you had the daddy character from Mr. Heartbreak, which was book two, and I just assumed because he was the dad, he was the oldest guy on the team, that he was the most mature. Mm-hmm. He was often the voice of reason, and Tweety was never the voice of reason.
Yeah, no, I think it's just because he was a dad is where the whole daddy thing came from, but yeah.
So let's talk about our hero, Connor. We'll start with Connor and then we'll go to Eloise. I liked him. He definitely was your very typical squishy cinnamon roll, pleasing of a hero.
I liked him.
Yeah, I felt like they took Mr. Swoony to heart. Like, the title was like, okay, how swoony can we make this guy? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he has his own baggage. His mom cheated. He saw that. You know, he's had this lifetime of kind of being objectified. But at the end of it all, he just is genuinely this really nice guy. So what'd you think of him, Lindsay? Did you love him?
I did love him. Well, I wanted him to get her a puppy.
You wanted him?
He does in the bonus
list. And that was my only complaint. And I think you're doing
it's okay in the bonus.
If you're only, I didn't get there. I cut off like right before the end, but I was like, where is the damn puppy? Like, it's on the bucket list. Like, who doesn't want a puppy? I really liked the way he handled things. I liked the way that, like, he didn't really push her in the beginning to, like, be romantic, like, at the bachelorette party when they met. I thought, like, him helping her cross the list off the bucket list was fine. And I also think, like, once you learn, I do not like cheating and I don't like instant connection, but I do really like how they handled the bucket list element. Like the fact that he saw she hadn't crossed anything off, and one of them being like this woman about to go get married, hasn't even crossed off the fact that like she's never been in love. I think like that was kind of the green light for him and a lot of his behavior.
Yeah, and I think for me too, in my brain a little bit, you know, like that lets me know like right away, like she's not in it with this guy. Like he's just, I'm just waiting for him to go away. Like,
Well, and as soon as she starts talking about her dad and trying to please him and those connections, and I know that resonated with you, Jenny. Like,
it
you know,
did.
like she just kept trying to be for him, to be for the grandparents. She just never felt good enough. And then there was Tristan, and with her grandfather pa or with her dad passing, she just didn't know how to get out. And I think that was the green light for me. Like, okay, you should have had sex right on Tristan's bed.
I think he was also symbolic of the world. Like, Tristan was symbolic of the world that her dad lived in, and like she never seemed to feel like she was a part of that. And I think like having lost her dad, it was extra hard for her to let go of that, because it wasn't just letting go of a guy she doesn't really love. It was letting go of like the last connection to her dad, especially with like how things go down with her grandparents later on.
Yeah, well, in a piece of the world that she desperately tried to be a part of. But then you find out, as the story goes on, you find out how he tried to change her and mold her. You know, don't do that. It's a waste of time. Don't do that. It's stupid. Why would you do that? You know, you're better than that. And it was just, I really like her. Eloise.
Me
She's a
too.
people pleaser. I really
Yep.
connected with her. I did struggle a little with Connie or Connor because he just felt too perfect. Like, you know, especially those of us that had read the series, we know that the girls at the nest leaving the signs, leaving the notes is annoying. And they just rip it up. But even in his moments of, you know, when he was single, he still just ripped them up, throw them away, and whatever. It just is like, you're too perfect. Like, but then he screwed up so bad at the end that I was like, well, you're not perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that he stuck his foot in his mouth a couple of times to give him that level of not perfect. I think the only thing with him that I wanted more of is I thought that the issue with his mom cheating was going to play a little bit more into this book because it was such a big deal in his sister's book. And, you know, there was, they kind of had, you know, he kept that a secret from the first time, and then he felt bad because his sister ended up catching her in her book. And I thought that was going to be a little more of like part of the plot in this one. I mean, it didn't make or break it for me, but I was expecting it.
That is, I think, a Piper Rain trait in their writing. Their books don't tend to get too deep into a lot of those issues. Like, they'll skirt over a lot of like past trauma and things like that. And it's very like light. Sometimes they don't tie off loose ends. I mean, most of the time they do, but it's not always like a satisfying. There's no depth to it. I'll say that. Like, it's a very light surface level type read. Like, because they don't dig more into like the past trauma or like those kinds of issues, it's kind of a trait of their writing that it's more like light and surface level.
There is definitely, I would say, a vibe to this series. Like, it is fun. It is flirty, especially after those first two. Their chemistry is really good. But actually, I think this works. I didn't need Sirius. And Jen Ellen says in
No.
the YouTube chat, I like an edgier character. I think I just needed him. It's kind of like where you see the guy wearing the perfectly pressed white pants. And you just want to put a little mud on him or like some Cheeto dust on the side. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just want a kid with a muddy handprint to walk up and see how he handles it.
Oh yeah. Okay. I can yeah,
Do you know
I
what I'm
can see
saying?
that.
Like, he was so
He is his
perfect.
muddy handprint.
He what?
I think she was his muddy handprint,
You
because like
think?
he knew that he was attracted to her. He knew that they had a connection. He didn't really know how to handle it. And then, like, when things got challenging or, like, moved outside of the box of familiarity for him, like, with the situation with Lila, like, and he starts messing up, like, he kind of, like, the first real opportunity for conflict in the relationship, he just really drops the ball hard and face plants hard.
Yeah.
So I felt like a lot of his swooniness aligned with, like, the fixer character of him. But then, like, he was definitely not perfect, because that was a big mess up.
Yeah.
Especially when he, like, put the picture in his, like, underwear drawer. I'm like, dude, like, of all the places, like.
Maybe think again. Oh, Oliver! Sorry, he's getting in the trash can. I can see him out of the corner of my eye. Everyone's going to be like, what are you doing? Sorry. Okay, so I need to talk about, sorry everybody, I need to now he's hiding behind me because he doesn't want to get yelled at. Just so you know, we are real. This is not AI created, because
at the time we were doing a quick shot or something, or maybe a full episode, and I like screamed in the episode because a bug ran on my foot.
Yes.
Like years ago.
Okay, so I want to talk about the bookstore moment.
Oh, yes.
So, first of all, in that moment, every book that she picks up that they're talking about are Piper Rain books or P. Rain books.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering.
It was all Piper Rain. It was all P. Rain. It was the Florida hockey ones.
Yeah.
The Mafia Academia stuff was their P. Rain series that got picked up by... Berkeley, I think, is who picked that up for them. Maybe it was Forever.
Which I thought was especially funny, because he takes the Piper Rain, like the Florida series, to Tweety, and Tweety's in those books. Which
right.
I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was a little meta, but I actually liked it better than had she been like a romance author. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I liked those Easter eggs more than when, you know, oh, they're my favorite author kind of stuff. Like, I just felt they were funny.
Yeah. I like how he was like geeking out over the hockey romance. Yeah. Like the thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like asked like a stranger, like,
yeah.
Oh. And she's just like, dude, like, grandpa. which I would have to say, if I was at the bookstore and some guy was like, was this a thing? I'd be like, yeah, like, just read it yourself, dude. Like,
Jenny'd have the bear spray out and be like macing him and being like, you're a creeper, don't talk to me. Which is very interesting, because here's a tangent. I actually saw a TikTok earlier this week of a girl that was at the bookstore watching a guy try to hit on a young girl, and she was totally creeped out by him. So, like, if you're in a bookstore and you see a dude trying to hit on a girl, go save her. Be a good friend. Be a good book community member and save her, because come on, none of us want to get hit on in the bookstore.
Yeah.
Okay, so the chemistry in this book I do think was much more slow, and I wonder if we had gotten some more emotional vulnerability from Connor, if it would have been more intense. I just kept saying, doesn't he have feelings?
Yeah, I mean, because I think most of what you see for him is a reaction to how she's feeling. And he just wants to, you know, he's trying to let her work through everything and be there. And yeah, I think the way he's portrayed is more revolving, like, around how she's dealing with everything, but he gets it wrong.
He does. Do we want to talk about the stalker situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because... I mean, that's his big mess up, is he doesn't tell her. But I was like, she comes at her in the bathroom with a pair of brass knuckles. I was like, holy cow.
Right. Those stalkers be crazy. Okay. But she also came face to face with her. Like, how many times?
Yeah. Yeah. Before she even knows, like, who she is. And That girl is just creepy.
She was.
I think there's a lot more conflict and layers to that than we got in the book. Like,
I think it had so much potential.
Lied to her. Yeah. Like the endangerment aspect. Like I would have been less, like me personally, I would have been less mad about the lie and more upset about learning this person's behavior, especially knowing what happens later on. Like he endangered her.
Yeah.
That's a big mess up.
Yeah. He wasn't as much of a protector as you would have expected with him having a stalker. And I just feel like it had potential that just didn't deliver. Yeah,
that's a good point because he seemed so much more worried about like losing her than like protecting her, like you said, like
yeah
he's not processing.
Yeah, like he flips out like before a game, like I'm gonna lose her, and I'm like, dude, maybe you should talk to her.
Yeah. And the stalker stuff could have come off. I will say, I think they balanced it okay because it doesn't come off as other woman drama, which can be very tiresome.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like it stayed in its lane of she's obsessed fan. And Stacy asks in the chat, how was this not passed along from the Florida front office when he was transferred, you know, when he took the trade to Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how like restraining orders work across state lines, but I'm like, that seems like something that.
Yeah, I think you have to get a new, I think they mention it, like you have to get a new one in a different state. Like you have to go to the police in the location you're at now. And I guess he just thought she stayed in Florida at first. Right. And then, you know, but the minute she showed up, yeah, he should have done something.
You would and again, like you have an agent, you have a team. Why didn't we utilize them? I don't know. Just a couple questions I had. I do like that he kind of positioned himself to be the sidekick for her versus the star. I did think that was swoony.
Yeah.
You know.
So I want to like pivot slightly, but if we're going to talk about like things that bothered us, okay. The bachelorette party. So she seems to have a really good friendship with a lot of, or I guess like Jade and Kylie in particular, but like they only talked about, I thought at the bachelorette party, they only talked about one girl missing. Like why was Kylie not at her bachelor party if she's at her wedding?
Well,
like,
she was her wedding dress designer.
Yeah, they were not like, good friends yet.
I was just like her bride, or like her whole bachelorette party was just like,
well, but if you think about in the beginning when she talks about it, Jade was supposed to be there, but they got delayed, right, out of town?
Yeah,
she got like stuck in Amsterdam. They're playing.
And she only wanted one bridesmaid, but what's-his-ass had 17,000 groomsmen, so then she had to use the girlfriends and the friends of the mom.
She got stuck with Penelope.
She got stuck.
Yeah, she's not really friends with any of those people. Like Jade seems to be her only like true friend, and then she develops a friendship with Kylie like after.
Okay. Yeah, I was just a little confused about that, and I also sped read that part. So,
because I actually thought that was done well. Like why Jade wasn't there, like that was a good reason for her not to be there, because if she was there, like she would know who Connor was, and like that would change the whole situation.
Well, and Connor would have known who Jade was, so he would have wandered over there sooner. It would have had a different beginning and a different vibe. I think that you needed that anonymity for both of them to not. And I do think it's funny, like, when she knows football players' names and he gets a little butt hurt.
Yeah.
He's like, you know who those are? She's like, yeah, Tristan watched football. I also liked that he left all that food out on the counter.
Yes, the revenge rotting.
Yeah. Lindsay gave it a name. Like,
that's definitely something I would do. I would.
I never even thought that was diabolical. I loved it because, like, rotten food is the most smelly. And he was gone for 10 days.
Right, but he like started posting pictures on Instagram of him and the random women he was meeting.
On their honeymoon.
On their honeymoon.
What would have been their honeymoon, yeah.
I don't think he was as butthurt as he acted like he was.
Well, I don't think he was either. And I appreciated like the way they wrapped that up and that he wasn't a bigger conflict. Like,
right.
You know, because it really seemed that they were both just in this to appease their parents and kind of like keep up appearances and whatever. And when she calls him out for not ever putting her first, like he eventually agrees. And like, I just appreciated the way that wrapped up and we moved on from him.
Yeah. I was really mad at the grandma.
Yeah.
And even Tristan's mom when they're like, because she had a stepdad that she was very close to. And then she's walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
And I don't even think she would have gotten down the aisle had he been there walking her down the aisle. I think that he would have been like, you don't have to do this. And because he had a way with her, right?
Yeah.
So, and her grandparents were literally the worst.
Yeah.
They were.
I know her grandparents.
What'd you say, Jenny?
I said, I think I might know her grandparents.
Do they randomly send children the Heritage Foundation flyers?
Yeah.
Just asking for a friend. Do. Just asking.
The wedding thing, like how basically as soon as she leaves the wedding, she winds up moving in with Connor. I really liked that dynamic and that they didn't just like immediately kick off a relationship when they moved in together. Mm-hmm. Like they acknowledged the chemistry. But I like that like she has a trust fund. She has the ability to like not work if she doesn't want to. But I really like that Connor kind of pushed her to figure out like who she was and what she wanted to do with her life and kind of like find purpose outside of just like being a wife. And I like that she wasn't a perfect heroine at all. And I think it's like very relatable to read a heroine, especially a heroine in her 20s who doesn't own her own business or isn't wildly successful or like.
Or know her complete career trajectory, you know, like I'm going to do this and I'm this and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even when we get single moms, like it's just like so many of the heroines are just like very perfect. And like to get this not perfect type heroine, like this heroine who's very much been lost and is like realizing she hasn't really done much of anything, like she's just let people push her around and tell her what to do, and like then she's on this journey in parallel. Like I liked how they handled that was a very subtle kind of tell to the story. Like there was enough happening for you to like see her finding herself, but I liked that dynamic a lot.
I think that's been a theme through this series, especially, you know, with Kylie and Jade, too. They're both at kind of like a crossroads and finding themselves. And I feel like they've done a really good job with all of the heroines in this series.
Yeah, I think also her having her own money, like, I mean, it was trust fund money, but like, so then there's not that dynamic, too, right? Like,
yeah,
she doesn't need anyone to care for her. She doesn't need a daddy, so to speak. She needs to find a friend and a partner. And that was something that I thought was really well done in this book is, yeah, they have this instant connection, but he realizes she's got some self-discovery she needs to do before they can be together. And he gives her the space and the support to do that and to be her friend, to support. Like, you know, when she's like, you don't even know where I'm going. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to get dressed and we're going to go.
Yeah.
Or he pops up, you know, here and there at different places. And I like that because that's very relatable to my own relationship. You know, I have the guy that he'll let me stumble, let me fall, but he's always there and willing to be the sidekick.
Okay. So I want to also talk about the camping trip because that's a big thing. Like I like that he was kind of there with her. She tried new things, but he didn't like push her to do or like things that she just wasn't into. Like camping is not for everyone. And I thought that was pretty realistic because a lot of people, especially like someone like Eloise, was not going to enjoy camping. And I like how she was like, there's certain parts of it that are fine. But like for the most part, she was like, I am not peeing in the woods. I'm going to walk up this dang hill to go to the bathroom. And I was
And then he goes with her. Yeah.
Adored her. Because I thought that was really realistic
I mean,
and
I
fun.
believe that. I am not a camping person.
I am not either.
It's a lot of dirt. It's a lot of bugs. I mean, I
I've
can
only
rough
gone
it.
camping like with a youth group, so I like there were very many moments where I'm like, I'm the adult here. I have to keep these thoughts inside.
Inside thoughts, inside thoughts. I mean, I
Yeah.
like a good bonfire. That's fine.
Right.
I like a nice s'more or a campfire pie. Like, I'm in it for the food, but then I want to go inside and sleep on my mattress
And flush the toilet.
and flush the toilet. You know? I don't want to sleep. Lindsay's like, sign me up for the dirt.
No, I did a comedy bit about camping. Sometimes I do comedy bits for my husband's entertainment, and I have a good one about camping.
Share.
And okay, so basically the gist of it is the way you camp is highly related to how you're willing to poop.
That's fair. That is fair.
That
Yeah.
is really
Like
fair.
the RVers who bring their whole house in the RV and they never have to use the bathroom on a non-flushable toilet. Like, it's very true.
And I bet they have fancy toilets at home
And then
because of
you have the
that.
backpackers who will dig a little hole in the wilderness.
Do you ever watch the people on the internet that do the like the long distance hiking? It's a married couple, and they did like they've done the Continental Divide. They've done from like the border of Mexico all the way into Canada, like all these crazy like long several months of walking and hiking and dirtiness. And first of all, you really have to love the person you're with, because I'd be
Oh,
walking
yeah.
alone a lot of days. And I don't know if that little camp shovel can dig a hole deep enough to bury their body. That's all. Those are the questions I
Just push
have.
them over.
It can barely dig a hole enough to bury the doo-doo. I
Like
mean,
this couple, they make like freeze, they do like the freeze-dried or dehydrated meals and share their recipes. And I'm like, no, thank you, ma'am. I can DoorDash to the Holiday Inn. That's where I'm
when
at.
I love that they had an air mattress. Like, I loved how bougie their camp was, and she still hated it. I just.
Yeah, I need like glamping. Like that's as close as I'm gonna get these days. I
Yeah.
can't. When I was younger, maybe, but not
Those
anymore.
fancy
Oh, I can
treehouse
fully
campers
relate
look
to the
nice.
smelly part. Like, my husband, I've made him drive like 45 minutes to get me a shower somewhere when we were camping for a week before. Like, one way, 45 minutes one way. So, like, an hour and a half round trip for a shower. Worth it every time.
I am, yeah, not that person, but okay. Is there anything else about Mr. Swoonie that you would like to talk about?
I did not like the proposal.
Okay, they went from broken up to engaged and married in 3 days.
Yeah, I hate that. I also felt like it was way too quick. I felt like they needed a happy for now ending with the pace of the story. I don't feel like HEA, like a solid HEA, really fit with the timeline of the story for me.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me only because of how the book started. Like him stopping the wedding and then just kind of like going to Vegas and doing something completely different. Like that didn't bother me. Like the
I
time
didn't
frame was kind of
mind
like,
the
eh,
Vegas.
was the
Like,
way he proposed.
yeah, like she's in a hospital bed. Like, she's just been punched by your stalker. Like,
Yeah.
maybe give it a day.
Right.
Who she didn't even know about until like right before she got attacked.
Maybe you're right. Maybe wait a day.
Yeah.
Maybe just a
I would
day.
have said no.
Lindsay's like, just
She'd been like, no, go dig a hole. I'm done with
no.
you.
I mean, yeah, yeah. I
I
don't know.
like the part where they leave the guys, like they take off in Henry's car and just leave them there and just go do their own thing. Like, I thought that was hilarious.
That
I liked their
Oh,
dynamic.
I did too. And it was so cute how they were like, Henry, the car is fine. It wasn't
Yeah.
even, he's fine. It was like, your car is fine.
I
Roll.
did kind of want him to be like, why are there beads all over my car?
Yeah. Jenna says that's almost her real life story, broke up at a Vegas wedding soon after they talked. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong for people. It just felt rushed, like 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Then we're going to do what songs for our summer reading mixtape challenge. They do not have to be on the mixtape list. They can also be ones that you've come up with separately. And then we'll talk about if you liked this, try this. So first, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I really liked this one. I'm enjoying this whole series. So, and I plan to read the fourth book. So,
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I will definitely read more of their books.
Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down. I know you've been on a breakup with Piper Rain. So yeah. Did this bring you back in for a minute?
It did, actually. Like, I'm going to finish the series. I really enjoyed it. I like that it was kind of a pivot away. I like that they're pivoting away from, like, these massive family. Like, I just think the families got stale. It just, like, they really fell off. I could tell they kind of, I don't know if they were enjoying them or not, but it seemed like they weren't really feeling great about it. Like, a lot of it just felt blah.
Yeah.
But, like, this was really good. I enjoyed it. It was a fun read. Perfect kickoff to summer reading.
This is a thumbs up for me. It is not my favorite in the series so far, but I really need Tweety's book, and then I'll tell you which is my favorite. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. Okay, so does anybody have a song that they think fits for the summer reading mixtape challenge? So let's create our own mixtape for Mr. Swoonie. Amanda, what do you have?
My brain is like kind of broken. So I'm going to go with one off the playlist that we already had. It was, it's actually the All of Me by John Legend, because it's a total wedding song, but it's also very swoony. And I feel like Connor is just like someone who would sing that to Eloise. So
yeah. Jenny, what do you have for mixtape songs? What's on your Mr. Swoonie mixtape?
I recommended Something Blue by Voila, is on the summer reading mixtape, and because that's like she's got cold feet and he's like, you don't want to marry him type vibes. And then I would also say All of Her by Forest Black. It's a song, like people use it for father-daughter dances, but also wedding songs. But it's just kind of a song of like, if you're going to have this girl, you need to treat her right. And
yeah.
A good one.
Those are good ones. What about you, Lindsay? Do you have any mixtape song or any songs to add to our mixtape?
Yeah. I'm doing Sorry I'm Here for Someone Else by Benson Boone for this, because when he shows up at the wedding, Sorry I'm Here, or like she's, you know,
she runs off.
It works.
I just feel like it's more applicable to that whole scene, and I love it. So, yeah.
So I had a couple. I had Shut Up and Dance With Me by Walk the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Riptide by Vance Joy. I'm Yours by Jason Mars.
Mraz.
However you say that. And then One Call Away by Charlie Puth. I think that those all fit the vibes of this song. And I could have gone on and on. Like, I'm really liking the idea of that each book, we're just making a mixtape for it.
Yeah, I mean, I do that a lot. So this is working for me. So yes, we've converted, Jenny and I have converted Becky over to our side now.
Yeah,
for the playlists.
All to your playlists. Okay, so if people liked this book, what other books fit this? Who has suggestions?
I honestly, like, I went through my Goodreads and I looked at like books that were similar, and any of the books that I had that were like where she leaves somebody at the altar or they call off the wedding, like, I don't think I would recommend. So like on ones that I've actually read, but I think for Swoonie, like Just hockey. The only one I could think of was Jasper by Lulu Moore because it's book one in her hockey series, but I'm actually like listening to it right now. But other than that, my brain just wasn't working,
It's
so
okay.
I didn't have a lot.
It's okay. Jenny, do you have any?
I never come with books.
You never do.
Yeah,
Lindsay, do you have any?
it's Score Her Heart by Danica Flynn. It's the second in her Philadelphia Bulldogs. She is also leaving her fiance. She gets left at the altar situation, and then she moves in with her best friend. They wind up getting married. They wind up falling in love. It's great. Very similar.
Yeah. So I just went with roommates a little bit and sports
That's cool.
because I like that roommate dynamic. It's a balance of close and forced proximity. I know a lot of people say it's forced proximity, but it's not because you can move.
It'll
You might be
leave.
homeless, but you can leave.
But you learn a lot by
Right?
living with somebody.
I do think if you like this series, Kendall Hale's Crawford Family series, I think that you would like
Yes,
that
that,
equally.
yeah.
They're very comparable. Book two and book four are roommates. And book four comes out next week or the week after. Well, they end up accidental roommates because of
Yeah.
construction. Cross the Line by Kelly Jameson. She ditches her fiance and moves in with her brother, who is a hockey player, and his roommate. And she falls in love with the roommate. Hot Shot by Kristen Callahan. Again, roommates. Leave Me Breathless by Carrie Elks. It's part of Winterville. She breaks up with the boyfriend that has all the family expectations. Like her family wants her to marry him. She breaks up, moves in with her brother's best friend, and lives with him and then becomes, falls in love with him. Man Candy by Vanessa Vail. He's the hockey player. She has to move in with him because a tree fell on her house.
I didn't think about that one.
Game On by Danica Flynn. They're roommates. It's kind of single dad, guardian, nanny kind of setup. And then Hitting the Goal Line by Jocelyn Soto. They're roommates, friends to lovers. He's a hockey player.
Okay, yeah.
And it's messy. It's definitely
Yeah.
angstier than this,
Yeah, a lot.
but it's similar. There's some similarities.
Yeah, I should have gone roommates.
Yeah, I was like, man, I didn't. Apparently,
Hate to
that's.
Date You by Monica Murphy. They move in together and they're roommates by accident. And she hates him. Her family loves him. She's got this big, noisy, boisterous family that's in all her business. Against the Boards by Danica Flynn. Again, she moves in with her brother because she's broken up with her long-term girlfriend and moved to Philadelphia. And her brother's gone for the summer, and she falls in love with her brother's roommate and best friend. And then Double Pucked by Lauren Blakely. Again, she moves in with them. They're hockey players, and that's MFM romance. So, yeah, I went roommates and sports. Sorry. I guess I should have sent a
Yeah,
message for book
that was
rats.
smart.
It
probably
It's
wouldn't have
like, yeah, that
mattered.
was smart. It was like,
Well,
man.
we've given so many wedding recs,
Right.
right? Like, we have the wedding episode.
Yeah.
This is the fourth book that we've done that's wedding. We have the next book that's also still wedding. So, and last week with that one, I tried to look at it a little differently, go with kind of that forced proximity of a car ride. So this one, I'm like, well, what's sports and roommates where they fall in love? Because I think that was one of the big dynamics in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it pushes them to move the relationship quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, those are my book recs. You can find them listed on buzzingaboutromance.com and are on the shelf show notes for this episode. So that's it for tonight. Sip and discuss. Thank you for hanging out with us as we swooned over Mr. Swoony by Piper Rain. Because let's be honest, who isn't a sucker for a charming hero and heartfelt moments? I mean, we even won Jenny over in an instant connection romance. So they did something right
I'm
in this book,
sorry.
right? And Lindsay wasn't
For
too grumpy.
one.
And it's really bad when Jenny's the sunshine and Lindsay's the grumpy one. Do you know what I'm saying? Perspective. We'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with a brand new discussion to kick off our summer reading. We are starting with Sapphic Summer, So get ready for some truly stunning queer romance wrecks all about women loving women. And don't forget, next Wednesday's book is Bad Wedding by Elise Faber. This book has a little bit of suspense. It's drama. It's chaos. I think you all will like it. This series is complete standalones. I did have someone message me and they're like, do you know there's like 15 books in this series? And I'm like, they read individually.
Okay. We're going to see.
1,000%.
Amanda's like, well, I will let you know.
Well, particularly this one. Anyway, it's also, she's a baker. So.
Oh, I love that.
I knew. See? I gotcha, friend. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you guys for reading Mr. Swoony and hanging out with me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @buzzingaboutromance or on Twitter at @buzzingromance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.